Welcome to the SICK Network Podcast, a weekly podcast discussing current and topical issues affecting SICKs across the global diaspora.
Sacrificing SICKs. The Need for an Investigation. The highly anticipated report commissioned by the SICK Federation UK. Written by Phil Miller. Narrated by Sunny Osan. Commission designed and published by the SICK Federation UK. Chapter 6. Request for paramilitary assistance after SAS visit. The Hayward Review claimed that the SAS officer's instructions were that no UK manpower or equipment should be offered beyond the visit of this single military advisor. Hayward refused to publish the SAS report, but said that the UK advice also focused on command and control arrangements and nighttime coordination of paramilitary with Indian Special Group Forces. India's police included heavily armed paramilitary divisions, such as the Central Reserve Police Force, CRPF, or Border Security Force, BSF, whose members resembled soldiers rather than constables. These should not be confused with clandestine paramilitary groups like the IRA or UVF. Although Hayward claimed the SAS officer did not recommend further assistance, it is curious that shortly after the Amritsar trip, Indian officials asked Britain for training and equipment for paramilitary forces and asked for a space on an army divers course. Divers were used in the first phase of Operation Blue Star to clear wells suspected of being arms dumps. Conceivably, this request for diver training could have been prompted by consultations with an SAS advisor, given a large water pool, Sacred Sarovar, surrounding the city Harmandir Sahib. The Indian Army was booked on a completely different course and asked to change to the divers course in March 1984. It is not clear from the files, which are censored, what caused that shift. The British High Commissioner said that, although not an original list of Indian bids, we would strongly support reallotment of UK MTAS funds to diver course, although appreciate likely to be more expensive. There are a few more documents available about the discussion to train paramilitary units. An Indian police officer called on the Assistant Defence Advisor at the British High Commission, Wing Commander Cross, to ask for spaces on UK police and paramilitary courses. In a censored letter from 28 February, the advisor noted dryly that some of their requirements when identified may raise other policy implications. For the more military of the paramilitary forces, who have a border security role in pure military as well as anti-smuggling and illegal immigration terms, some UK Army courses may well fit the bill. Foreign Secretary Howe responded favourably, telling the wing commander that, in cases of particular need, we can agree to help with policemen attending military courses. The next day, the FOC's Overseas Police Advisor, Mr. Bryan, told the Assistant Defence Advisor that, on the Orthodox Police Training Net, there are provisions through British Council for English language tuition in the UK at various levels. He went on to say, what is really needed is more detail from the Indians as to what it is they are really looking for. The clear implication is that paramilitary training was not orthodox, but arrangements could be made. There are no further references to this training in the file, which was suspiciously slender, or in any other records available at the archive. However, there was plenty of British aid money available for India to receive such training. The UK Military Training Assistance Scheme, UKMTAS, funding for India in the financial year 1984/85, was increased from £240,000 to £400,000. Hayward's claim that no equipment was offered for the Amritsar raid is also deeply suspect. The morning after the SAS advisor left India, the MOD sent a telegram to a company called Belstaff International Limited, asking if it could supply bulletproof vests to the Indian paramilitary forces. The company responded enthusiastically. The customer was the Indian Border Security Force, who had contacted the British High Commission. The timing of the request is too much of a coincidence, given the SAS officer's advice was how to coordinate paramilitary forces in a raid on Amritsar. Subsequent correspondence from mid-March 1984 reveals that the British High Commission in New Delhi have been actively pursuing the Indian paramilitary with a view to promoting UK-manufactured equipment. The defence advisor in New Delhi, Brigadier Cornell, is also anxious to encourage all three branches of the Indian paramilitary to attend the British Army Equipment Exhibition, BAEE 84, in June this year. A confidential UK Eyes B briefing from mid-April 1984, written for the Defence Procurement Minister's visit to India, said that the various wings of the Indian paramilitary and border security forces would appear to offer a potentially large and so far untapped market for a wide range of internal security equipment, the Indian paramilitary number 1.2 million men. It added that we are looking to satisfy the Indian paramilitary thirst for knowledge of UK activities by supplying them with equipment reports on items used by the police. Action on this is in hand. There was debate between the MOD and FOC about whether it was appropriate to sell non-lethal internal security kit to Indian paramilitary units. The FCO was in favour of equipping such forces in the explicit knowledge that the gear could be used for a raid on Amritsar. This crucial fact was completely omitted by the Haywood Review. The MOD worried that such sales could cause presentational and political problems to the UK and were specifically concerned about the provision of rubber bullets or baton rounds to Indian paramilitary units. Authorities in Delhi had asked the MOD for British Army assessments, trial reports, equipment analysis and comparisons of various equipment that we use. The MOD's Defence Secretariat 6A was not prepared to release information on the specific case of Northern Ireland. The Defence Procurement Minister was warned before his visit to India in April-May 1984 that one problem MOD have with the Indian paramilitary is their insistence of being made aware of what internal security equipments are used by the British Army. This leads directly into British Army activities in Northern Ireland, and obviously information of this nature cannot be released on security grounds. Baton rounds, as used by troops in Northern Ireland, have never been permitted for police forces in England, Scotland or Wales. In 1981, security forces in Northern Ireland fired a record 29,695 plastic bullet baton rounds, resulting in the deaths of seven people from April to August, including a 12-year-old girl, Carol Ann Kelly. Internal MOD documents, now declassified, have revealed that the British Army privately knew some of its baton round equipment could cause fatalities. It is not surprising, then, that the MOD did not want India to see their equipment analysis of this faulty kit. However, the Foreign Office felt that the MOD was getting unduly vexed over this issue, and seemed oblivious to the internal reports. One diplomat commented that, I do not see a problem in providing data on the effectiveness of items. John Ramsden, who is now a member of the National Archives Censorship Board, argued at the time that, begin quote, neither the High Commission nor the other Whitehall departments concerned seem to share this concern, nor do I. Indian paramilitary forces are likely to find themselves holding the ring in situations of serious intercommunal fighting. Modern equipment, such as rubber bullets, will help them do the job with as little loss to life and limb as possible. India is a democracy, therefore it is legitimate that the Indians should have access to British techniques for maintaining law and order. It would be a sad day for India if her paramilitary forces were to seek the advice of Soviet experts. End quote. Other members of the South Asia Department argued strongly in favour, with Cleghorn himself commenting in a handwritten note that, begin quote, the central government's paramilitary forces, CRP, BSF, etc., are better trained and more efficient than the local state police and are essential to the maintenance of public order. There is a risk that they might be used in aggression, which would attract adverse publicity in the UK, e.g. clearing out the Golden Temple. But our defence would be that we were simply supplying police equipment to the government of a democracy with which we have close relations to enable it to cope with threats from political forces ready to use violence in pursuit of their objectives. End quote. It is deeply concerning that Cleghorn, who has gone on to censor Foreign Office files, argued in March 1984 for Britain to supply Indian paramilitary units with internal security equipment, knowing that it risked being used in a raid on Amritsar, and that this fact was omitted from the Haywood Review. Instead, Haywood claimed that there is no evidence in the files or from discussion with officials involved at the time that other forms of assistance for the operation, for example equipment or tactical intelligence, were provided for the Indian operation. Civil servants at that time were expected to approve arms deals. Whitehall had issued guidance on the general considerations concerning the political approval for the export of defence and internal security equipment. This document stated that the government have said that they wish to increase the sale of British defence equipment overseas. All applications for the export of defence and internal security equipment should therefore be approved unless there are compelling reasons for not doing so. In the midst of this debate, the FCO's South Asia Department commented that, begin quote, India's human rights record is not perfect and has been criticised by Amnesty International and similar organisations, but it is a democracy with an effective judiciary and an independent press which takes a considerable interest in human rights questions. In recent years, there has therefore been no question of our refusing to sell to India either arms or equipment for internal security purposes. The clear impression from the files is that Whitehall intended to equip India's paramilitary units in the knowledge that they might raid Amritsar. Ultimately, these units did play an active role in Operation Blue Star. On the 1st of June 1984, the British High Commission noted press reports that CRPF security personnel fortified a building opposite the place within the Golden Temple where Pindranwale, a Sikh leader, holds meetings. Five or more battalions of paramilitary forces have been deployed into Punjab.
Welcome to the Sikh Network Podcast, a weekly podcast discussing current and topical issues affecting Sikhs across the global diaspora.